Jesus, you are faithful. All the faithfulness we have seen is still present with us. All the faithfulness we have seen is still present with us. Dedicate these moments to the uncreated, unlimited, unfailing, eternal King, Savior, Father. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never. we're going to declare, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe you're going to do it again. The faithfulness of God that has been with us in the past is here with us now. The miracle working power of God is active today, here now. So let's declare together, I've seen you move.
I've seen you move. To mind his faithfulness, call to mind where he has broken through. We call to mind where you have come through. We call to mind your faithfulness, we remember in you are present here. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. We're still in your hands. This is our confidence. You've never failed. Sing it again. Your promise. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Things. Oh.
I think that what Keith has been singing about is what's on the Lord's heart this morning. I heard earlier the scripture out of Psalms that says, "He will not strive with you forever." But I also heard that the Lord was saying that there's a time of refreshing coming. In Acts 3, verse 19, it says, "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The sense that I had about the striving was that He wants us to be on the same page as He is right now in this season. And that the movement that's going to begin to happen within the kingdom will happen, whether we're on board or not. But as Keith was singing, He's faithful. And so in that faithfulness, He has a time of refreshing coming. But that scripture says, "Therefore repent and return." If you have to return, then it means that you were in the right place at some point. But if you have drifted out of that point to where the Lord is saying, "Let's move over here," then a time of repentance is necessary for us. But in that time of repentance and after that will come a refreshing from the Lord for us to begin to walk in the direction that He's moving. So the things that Keith's been singing about this morning, as far as He's faithful and He has our good in mind, I believe the Lord is saying it's time to take a look at where you're at. And if there's repentance that is necessary, take care of that with Him and then allow Him to refresh you to move forward.
Is so much like the Lord to warn and call at the same time. "You will not always strive, but at the same time come to me." And so, Lord, this morning we thank You for the call to return. We open our hearts and present our lives to You. Draw us into the place You want us, and lead us forward in Jesus' name. Thank you.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. I have a sense this morning that the Lord said that there's freedom for those that are struggling with depression. And not only the depression that comes from everyday problems in our lives, but also the depression portion that comes with thinking that God has not met me where I need to be met. So my natural life is a mess. My spiritual life seems to be a mess, and I have no hope. The Lord is saying this morning, I have you covered. The love that I have for you has not waned one single bit. Though you haven't seen it, I have reached for you and reached for you and reached for you. And I will continue to reach. Reach out to me now. And let me cast that depression from you. And let me bring refreshing upon you. I am faithful and faithful and faithful to you. I will meet with you. Reach out to me.
We acknowledge, Father, that you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. We acknowledge that you are faithful. Lord, as we turn our attention to you, we refocus on you. We turn our hearts toward you to receive the grace that you have for us. You are faithful. We reach to receive. Even as you reach to give, we receive in Jesus' name.
Father is calling us close to Him. Repentance is a big word that simply means change your mind and come back. I'd like to give you guys a visual here. So I'm going to have Colin walk away from me. That's us sometimes. We see something interesting and we leave Father's presence behind. We get distracted. We get pulled off course. And the Father is simply saying, Colin, Colin, come back to me. Come back to me, sweet boy. Come back to me. Yeah. Yeah. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. Father's song. Hear the Father's song. Come home. Come home. Hear the Father's song. Hear the Father singing over you. Come home. Come home. I've got a ring and a robe. I've got a new name. So come home. Come home. I've got a ring and a robe. I've got a new name. I've got a warm embrace. So come home.
Good morning. Father's been talking to me today, as he always does, and he was telling me, I am your God. I'm living God. I can do anything. And yet, I love you so much, I chose you. I brought you to me. I've brought you to the place you're in. It may be a hard place, but learn from it while you're there. You will not stay there long. I have more for you.
You will not stay there long. I have more for you. So we take courage. We take heart tonight, today, Father. We take heart knowing that it is good. It is good what you have brought to us. And it is good where you want to take us. We take heart. I return to your touch. I return. That never left. Your love that never left. Forgive me. For leaving your hug, I return to your touch. Forgive me for seeing you as small. When you are so much bigger, greater than I ever know, so much bigger, greater than I have ever known. I turn to your hug. To your love that never left, I return. Us to see ourselves as hugged, embraced, loved, to see our existence as surrounded by His love, surrounded by His favor, surrounded by His presence. So let's declare together, I am your loved one.
I am. were talking about a good, good father, and one of the things that the Lord was showing me was a conversation I had with my boys, one of my boys, last night, and he was saying that that when he has kids, he really doesn't want to have to change diapers. It's not one of the things he wants to be doing. And so we were talking about the different ways that you can keep a baby from wetting on you. But we were also talking about that's one of the most intimate times that you can have with your child. They have to lay down for you to change that diaper, which means they're face to face with you. And if you've ever been with a baby as you're changing their diaper, they're looking at you, they're checking you out. If you yawn, they yawn. I mean, it's just they're intently watching you. And sometimes they try to squirm away, but you're getting to know them. And so Father was talking to me. This started out with a picture of, you're in a grocery store and you run into a friend and you're worried about what your breath smell like. And I was thinking about that and how, and the Father said to me, you have a sweet, sweet aroma to me. And yes, sometimes your diapers are dirty, but I'm a good, good Father. I love to change your diapers. We're face to face. And I really feel like sometimes when we're trying not to let Father see us because of whatever has been going on in our lives, those are the most important times to come, that he's a good, good Father. He wants to change that. And all we have to do is lay still or even squirm around, but stay. You have your best times. There's the songs that you sing to your children or the things that you say to them when they're laying in front of you face to face that are so important. And that's what he's saying to us.
So, Lord, we do come to you again this morning and yield ourselves, our plans, our failures, our successes, our lives. We yield to you and invite you to do your work for us. We trust that your work is out of a loving heart because you are a good, good Father. And we thank you for your mercy. And we receive your grace today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are loved by you. That's who we are. We are loved by you. That's who we are. We are loved by you. That's who we are. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. Amen. We have a couple of items that we need to cover this morning. It's somebody's birthday, and he's not even here. There he is. Mr. Bortle, he just snuck out the back door, just came back. Mr. Bortle is 70 years young. He doesn't look that young, does he? I mean, he looks, I mean, if he said he was 50, I guess I could go along with that. Turning 70. So happy birthday to Mr. Bortle. Jillian is home now. Okay, so is she in pain, or how is she doing? What's happening? You got a big mouth, right?
she's sore. She went through pretty much a week-long bowel obstruction, and she's home now resting. She's feeling 1,000 times better than she did, but she's still not 100%. But she's, as of right now, she's not having an obstruction anymore. So that's
good.
A good thing.
We're on the move. Thank you, Lord. Keith, would you just pray for Jill and then bless Keith, Mr. Bortle back there too. Put a blessing on him for his birthday.
Lord, we lift Jill right up before your throne this moment, God. It has been a long haul for her, and you have seen what she has gone through, Lord. You know what you're trying to accomplish in this, Father. So we ask, Lord, that you would take Jill and take her body and put it back into right order right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We speak to whatever this issue is, Lord, that you know. We ask that it would be turned around and completely healed in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that she would see your face today, that the refreshing that we've received, she would receive also, God. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way in Jill's life. Amen. And Father, for Lee, I thank you, Lord, for what you have done in his life over the last few years, Father. I ask, Lord, that there would be a continuation, that he would begin to see what you have laid out for him to be about, God, and that he would latch on to that, whether he thinks that that's what you have for him or not, Lord. We ask, Father, that he would say, okay, Lord, that he would come into agreement with what you have for him, God. We bless him right now in his 70th year, Lord, and we say, add more.
Amen.
Add more. Yes. Add more. I ask right now, Father, that Holy Spirit would come and fill Lee from the soles of his feet to the top of his head, God, that he would be completely immersed in your love.
Amen.
And we bless him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And I'd like to also pray for Lisa Fess. So, Mr. Al, would you pray for Lisa Fess? Do you know her? Do you know who Lisa is? You met her once? Okay. I think she changed your diapers a few times. And so Lisa is in Wales another 2 weeks, right? Or what is it?
She'll be traveling to the home Wednesday.
This week Wednesday.
Yep.
All right, so she's got just a little bit left. Would you pray for her, traveling mercies, and pray for ministry?
Lord, we just lift up my mom to you, Lord, and we just ask that you would continue to use her where you've sent her, Lord, that you would speak through her to all those that you want to touch. Lord, that as she's wrapping things up, that she would be in good health and rested, Lord, and that her travels home will, all the connections will be made and everything would go well, Lord, and that as you continue to put people in her path, that she would continue to speak to them, that you would speak to them through her, and bless her trip home, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. George is finishing up the conference in Buffalo with the China Church and be back home this afternoon, late this afternoon, I believe. This morning I'd like to invite you to participate with God. Am I on? In what he wants to do in your life. And I'd like to I'd like to challenge you to think of the message that I have prepared here for you as just a continuation of the things that the Lord has been speaking to us this morning. It started, well, I don't know that it started last week, but last week we got into it a little bit. And so if you go to page one of your sheet, you can see that it says, comparing the old covenant with the new covenant, the old covenant grew out of a fear-based relationship in which when God initiated the old covenant, it was a time of terror. The people said, don't let him speak to us. We don't want to hear it. You go talk to God. You come back and tell us what to do, and we'll do it. That was the beginning of the old covenant. The new covenant, it is the expression of the love of God. And Jesus comes to express the other God, or the same God in another way, expressing his love. And the scriptures say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, introducing the new covenant by the means of love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation of our sins. 1 John 4:10. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Enough love to go around, Romans 10:10. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:15. Notice this one again, just quickly. Jesus said, I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. The motivation of the Father was to send, love was to send the Son. But the Son responded in love to the Father, and he did what was required of him, which was to go to the cross, ultimately, because he loved the Father. That's John 14:31. We are called to live by expressing God's love. Not law-driven, but love-motivated activities. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, we read the story or the statements about love. If I have the tongues of men and angels and have not love, zip. If I prophesy, have all knowledge, have faith to move mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. If I sell all that I have and give it to the poor, if I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Jesus said, my commandment is that you love one another even as I have loved you. Those are the things that we covered last week. And I want to go beyond that this week, but I want you to see something, that God is interested in a relationship. He was in the old covenant. He said, this is the nature of how I live and what would enable you to relate to me in the best way. Man didn't want to hear about it. Couldn't do it. God instituted the sacrificial system to enable man to cover his sin. The old covenant is full of mercy and grace. Don't let anybody tell you different. I want to tell you this. This idea that God is a different God in the old covenant versus the God of the new covenant is a lie. It's the same God. He didn't get saved when Jesus came. It's idiocy. And he didn't change when Jesus showed up. Scriptures say, God says, I change not. So we've got to see God as being a loving God and a merciful God and a gracious God in the old covenant, just as he is in the new covenant. Our understanding got expanded in the new covenant. And he came, Jesus was sent by the Father to express the love of God in a way that we could understand it and receive it. You may not get the impression that I'm having a hard time, but I'm going to say I'm having a hard time. And I'm going to tell you this. The message that is being put before us this morning is essential for your spiritual life and growth. And so, of course, I'm being resisted. But And I want to say this before we go any further. You need this message for yourself. When you get around to listening to the message, don't say, oh, Joe should really hear this. Too bad he isn't here this morning. Well, I don't care if Joe comes or not. You need to hear it. So, I hope that you dare to believe that there's something you could learn here today. So, Father, I pray that you would give us listening ears and tender hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with the story of the arrival of King Solomon to the throne. David had served well as a king, and it came time for him to pass. And his son Solomon was put in place to be the king after him. And in a vision and dream, Solomon sees this and he prays this. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 14. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. And he said, I will give you what you asked for, and I'll also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. And if you follow me and obey my commands, as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern these people well. You say, well, I'm not a king, and I don't have to govern Israel. So what's that got to do with me? Now I'm going to tell you what it has to do with you. There are very, very valuable people in your world that God sent his son to die for. And he expects and hopes and wishes and desires that you represent him rightly in ministering his life to them. If ever anybody needed to pray that prayer, I do, we do. God, give me a heart for your people. If you're married, give me your heart concerning my spouse. If you're a parent, God, give me your heart concerning my children. If you work, you say, God, give me your heart concerning my boss. God, give me an understanding and a discerning heart for the people that you died for. How many of you think that Joe should hear this message? Yeah. God, give me a discerning and understanding heart so that I can love your people, minister your life to them. Of course, when Jesus came, he said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to just pause at the moment and say, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of people. And when Jesus speaks of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's talking about a group of people who recognize and serve him as God. But as we walk with him, he's talking, you know, we so often think of walled cities and money and glory and all that stuff. He's talking about people. Christ came to redeem people. His heart was laid out for people. He died for people. The kingdom is about people. And when
Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It has everything to do about people. And it's not just people somewhere. It's all the people of India. Yeah, sure. But your responsibility is not so much the people of India as it is the people you live with. Romans 10 and verse 9 is one we quote often. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many of you have ever heard that verse before? Well, there's two or three of you that are still with me and have heard the verse. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean? What's it mean that he is Lord? And that he is raised from the dead? What's the point of it? Those are two unrelated things. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he is raised from the dead. It is totally related. It's related because the one who is raised from the dead, the one who is alive, the one who is real and present, is the one who is the Lord. And so then what does it mean that he is Lord? What does it mean? Nice, warm, comforting word that he's Lord. It has something to do about his purposes in the earth through you. His lordship is designed to be expressed through you. Blaise Pascal said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every... Well, he may have said it. I don't know that he did. I'm old, but not quite that old. There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by the God and Creator made known through Jesus Christ. Augustine said in a prayer, you have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Page 2. In every heart, there's a hollow spot called, or a hollow place called the God spot. And the question before us is, what have you filled your hollow spot with? Augustine says, we'll be restless until we fill it with God himself. Some of the commentators say, it's ridiculous to say that God gave us a hollow spot in our hearts. Didn't he know better than that? I want to tell you the truth. I can't imagine what these people think of. He created you with his own presence there. There was no hollow spot when God created Adam and Eve. They drove him out. And it cost the blood of the Son of God to make room, make that room fit for him again. The hollow spot is there because mankind drove him out and said, I don't want it the way you want it. I want it to the way I want it. I know better than you do. You've never done that, have you? Remember, you're in church. You don't lie in church. Go outside and tell you the little white lie that says you never did that. How have you filled your personal God spot? Is your God spot filled with God or various people or job or money or possessions or health or beauty, fads or fan club? What is your heart filled with? A measuring tool for finding out what your heart is filled with is simply, where do I invest my time, my money, my thoughts, and my dreams? These are indicators of my real God, where I'm really filling my God's passion. Are you still with me? Is the person next to you awake or snoring? The next thing speaks of some priorities in our lives, starting with God. If the God spot is filled with God, which we wish we could all say it was, if it was unshared with any other force, if the God spot was filled with the love of God, priorities would be the people in our world. There would be no room for money or fame. It'd all be about people. Because that's what God's about. And so then we have this little God first, then people, as assigned by God. Spouse, children, family members, others as assigned. Can you believe that God is very primarily interested in relationship? What would make you believe that God is interested in relationship? I assume you said yes, I don't know. God is love. Love has everything to do with relationship. Anything else? Is that it? Say it again. God is love, and that relationship in the Trinity proves an ongoing, eternal relationship, which out of which comes God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so God the Father was in Christ. There was an agreement. There was a focused purpose here to reconcile the world to himself. Jesus said, I go to the Father. It's good for me to go to the Father because if I go, what? The Holy Spirit will come. There seems to be that the three have committed themselves to relationship. That which was something they celebrate, they wanted to impart and give to us to celebrate as well. God also created family. He said about Adam, it's not good for Adam to be alone. That sense does not exist in Islam. The Quran misses the love in Allah. The God, I'm trying to get you to think. About the critical reality of relationship. First of all, the vertical one. Could I have everybody's attention for just a minute? Then you go back to playing your games, okay? Everybody's attention for just a minute. God is interested in relationship. At great cost, he developed a way for relationship to occur. He did not walk away and say, lots of luck, I hope you celebrate that relationship. He has ever since been knocking on the door hearts of people saying, I want relationship. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want something to go on here. And I want you to, in just a minute you can go back to playing your games, but I want you to get this. The God who wants relationship with you wants to establish relationship with others through you. Okay, go play your games. We need to place God first in our lives in order for him to accomplish his priority, which is to touch the lives of other people through us. If we place, fill our hearts with all kinds of other stuff, we will not have the heartbeat that enables us to establish and keep relationships. Relationships are costly. Relationships are risky. God had to risk his son to establish relationship. He had to pay the cost in order to establish relationship. And this morning's, I don't know if you caught it, but there was a calling or a reaching for. Do you remember what your first things were? God will not strive forever. And at the same time, he's saying, come to me. He's saying, wake up. Pay attention. Stop playing your games. He's saying, come to me. And it's all about relationship. Wasn't that what it was about? All about relationship. I just don't want to beat it to death, but in order for us to have healthy relationships beyond our fellowship with God, he must fill the God spot. And having filled the God spot, the one who is the all-wise God and the all-loving God, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who knows who you are, where you are, and where he wants to take you, that one will assign to you relationships with people. Relationships in which he, the God of the universe, can reach through you to touch people. And so then there are relationships related to spouse, children, family members, and others. The next line says, the time limitations require us to build walls or establish boundaries. We simply do not have the time, emotional or physical energy, to be related to all the people in our world. Can you see that as being obvious? When Jesus was here, the Son of God himself, he had time for the crowds. There were times when he would take his disciples away, the 12. And there was a few times when he would take the three away. And he said, Peter, James, and John, come, I need to talk to you. There were, and when, let me just say this. When he took the three away, the nine that were left were probably saying, how come we didn't get asked? And what's so special about that? That's Peter, you know, he's always got a big mouth. And why did he get to go and I didn't get to go? Well, I'm just making it up, but, you know, could have happened. Imagine the crowds wondered, why does he leave us? We still got more needs here. And he leaves them. I'll tell you why he left them. Because of the Father. Father said, leave him. And so, there are times when the Father would assign relationships, assign responsibilities. In the next section, there's a box there. The natural man, with the me-first philosophy, says, I'm going to build walls to protect myself and separate myself from people that aggravate me, hurt me, challenge me, frustrate me. Spiritual man, on the red side, who has managed to get God first in his life, establishes boundaries to protect God assignments with God-inspired boundaries and bridges or openings. You can't be all things to everyone. You're not called to be all things to everyone. I didn't hear. Did somebody say something? Yeah, you're right. Hallelujah. There are God assignments that are yours. If you fill your heart, if you can do that, which of course, that's a big if. How many of you know that's an ongoing work? If you fill your heart, fill the God spot with God, there will be assignments. And those assignments are available for you to reach into by the grace and power of God. If you try an assignment that is not one that he has given you, well, good luck. If you're already married, you say, well, I married the wrong person. He or she really aggravates me. I've got news for you. God just assigned you your current spouse as a primary responsibility. That's good news. Because the love of God is big enough to touch your spouse right where he or she is. So, well, I made a mistake. God fixes mistakes. How many of you know that? He majors in fixing mistakes. He can fix your mistakes. And so stop looking elsewhere for a different spouse or an excuse. Your primary assignment is your spouse. Did you say you? He said no, she says yeah. Your children are a primary responsibility. Your children have only one mother. Your children have only one father. Well, two fathers. But I want you to hear this. If you're too busy for your children, you're probably too busy. You need to get back to the assignment and say, okay, God, how do I fulfill the priorities that are in front of me? Then there's family members. There's work-related relationships. The kingdom of God is about people. Primarily about people. The assignments that God gives us are about people. And the assignment has to do, first of all, with establishing a relationship which has cost and risk involved. Don't volunteer, go slowly, get your assignment from God. Are you with me? I'm serious. There's costs and risks involved in establishing the relationship. But there are costs and risks involved in maintaining the relationship. I want you to think about this, but aren't you glad that God didn't say, I sent my son to die for your sins, and now you're on your own? Aren't you glad that when you screw up, which we were talking about this morning, when you're messed up, because he desires relationship, he comes back knocking at the door and say, come on, guy, let's work on this. To maintain a relationship is costly and risky, not risque. I thought I put it down here someplace what kinds of risks they are. But I guess I didn't. But it's time and money and frustration. Forgiveness? Are you there? Bottom of page 2. The cost.
Way down at the bottom.
Time, honor, respect. Pause. Honor. Do you know anybody that doesn't deserve honor? No, don't say, don't nod, don't point. But there's people in your world that really don't deserve to be honored. I mean, looking at it from a rational point of view, but God honors them. God reaches for them, longs to wrap them in his arms, and he longs for a pair of arms to do the job. And the assignment is out there. Don't go looking for assignment. It's costly. When you have the assignment, then say, oh God, make me faithful. Make me faithful to love this person or honor this person. Make me faithful in giving to this person the time that is necessary to maintain the relationship that you want to accomplish.
What's the cost? Time, honor,
respect, money, commitment, forgiveness times 2. Pause there. Forgiveness times 2 is the forgiveness that I need to extend to L because he screwed up and did a baddie to me. Again and again and again.
Times 10.
But also the forgiveness that I need to get from L because I screwed up so royally in his life. There's room for that to go both ways. Reaching, integrity, love, faithfulness, truth. Aren't you glad you came to church today?
Paying the price is risky and costly to establish and maintain God-assigned relationships. It's risky because it's necessary that I open my heart
and share with integrity. How many of you know that if you open your heart, you see, I just want to, it's like I got too many things to say, but if God has assigned me Al, then for Al and I to have that relationship, he needs to find out who the real George is. Now, that doesn't mean that I've got to tell the real George to everybody in my world. But I have to tell Al a little bit about the real me and how I see things. How I feel about things. Because if I'm going to get real with Al, I'm going to have to talk about the inside of me as well as what you see on the outside. It's risky. He may go blab it all over town. Are you going to do that, Al? If I'm able to open my heart to Al, listen, stay with me. If I'm able and willing to do that, there is a possibility that Al will dare to trust me with the inside of Al. If all I do is give him the polished, pretty preacher look, then he'll give me the poly preacher L look. And we're going to have a very surface relationship. And the purposes of God will not be accomplished in either me or in Al. How many of you know that when God assigns me to Al, he's got some things he wants to accomplish in Al, but there's a few rough edges he wants to rub off on me. There's an openness and integrity that's costly, dangerous, risky. And I need to open my heart to receive Al for who he is. And when I find out what a screwball he is, I need to have enough love and integrity not to spread it all over town and not to say, oh, gee, what a jerk. Why did I ever do that? What a scumbag. Boy, I don't care if I ever see him again. As a matter of fact, I hope he goes to whatever other church in town there is. Yes, they can. It's risky. Relationships are risky. Dangerous, risky, and costly. Now we're going to talk about communication, which we started to talk about opening our hearts. The purpose of communication is not to prove that to you, Al, that I am right and you are not, nor is it to impress you with how smart I am. But it's to reveal myself, my inner self, to you so you can get to know and understand me, which results in relationship. And it's for me to hear and know and understand you, resulting in relationship. If you were awake during the early part of the service this morning, that's what we were talking about. Father was saying, come to me. One of it was depression. Who did the depression one? Keith? Depression. It's in a hard spot. But the ending words, it will come to pass. It'll be over. I'm here to accomplish something and it'll be over soon. I think, yes! He is reaching to establish and maintain relationship. Where we have grown weary, he's saying, I'm here. I have not forsaken you. I'm here, and it will be over soon, and we will go on together in a better place. The purpose of communication is not to convince Al about how smart I am and he really needs me, but to open myself to Al and he to open himself to me. How many... I know that there are times when I don't agree with people. I suppose that even Al and I have areas, theological areas that we don't agree on. I don't know what they are in ways I don't want to know. Because he can be wrong if he wants to be, you know. But I want you to hear this. But the value of the relationship is far greater than the value of agreement on some silly point. And so I'm not willing for the silly point to separate us because I want the relationship to endure. And so I pour into the relationship what it costs, no matter what the differentials are. Is it valuable to have a relationship? It is to God. Just stay with me. Think about God. Think about God in you. Stop thinking about Joe. God's still pursuing you? You, the old screwed up one, still pursues you, still loves you, still longs to hug you, embrace you, even wants to draw you closer than you were yesterday. Relationship is of great value to him. And if he dwells in you, relationship is a reality, a valuable reality in you, vertically and horizontally. All right, going now to the red. We're getting close.
God, who is love, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's about relationship.
God who is in Christ, God who is love, is in you for relationship with you and through you for relationship with others. There is risk involved. There is surely cost involved. God thought you and others in your world were worth the risk and cost. What do you think? And what do I think? The risk and cost are real. You say, okay, what do we get out of this harangue? Are you serious about being a child of God and operating in the relational world that he operates in? Receiving the grace that he offers at great cost to him? Just think about it. You say, what's the risk? What risks involved to God? Well, the risk was, of course, initially was Christ. What other risk does he face? Rejection. He can be rejected. I just want to think of one. I had one other that I thought of, and that was if I am a child of God and say that I represent him and act like a complete jerk, his reputation is besmirched by my behavior, my attitudes. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's risk involved for him. And maybe he's big enough he don't care. But I'll tell you why he does care. If my reputation as a child of God causes Mason to stumble, and Mason says, well, if that's what a Christian is, It cost God something. Something very, very precious to God, which is Mason. It cost God something to allow me to be identified with him, because when I fail, Mason is at risk. Do you follow that? It's risky. And yet, God has purposed to choose you, Coralie, to be one of his children. And he is risking his reputation in you and the lives of these two little guys. And that one over there. Boy, he's trusting a lot to you, Coralie. Get with the program, for crying out loud. God is interested in relationship, and he's willing to pay the cost and take the risk to make you one of his, so that he can use you to reach into the lives of others in his world. And that's the essential issue in the thing called Christianity. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he has given to Coralie the ministry of reconciliation, in which she carries the heart of God to her family. She carries the heart of God to those people in the neighborhood. She carries the heartbeat of God to her world. And she can say, well, I'm too busy. I don't have it. What do I get out of that? Or she can say, Father, if you have assigned me to Joe Pete, then I'll find time for Joe Pete. And I'll share my heart with Joe Pete, even if it costs me, even if there's a risk, because I know you have chosen Joe Pete. And you've called me to reach there. And that's what Christianity is all about. I'd like us to pray, and then I'm going to let you go. Father, I thank you for this group of people who have heard your call and sensed the draw of your love on their lives. I pray that they and I will be willing to fill the God spot in our hearts, so filled with you that we will love the assignments that you give and spurn everything else in order to love you and the people in our world that you love. Have your way in us, we pray. Amen. Now the good news is the service is over. You can go. I am willing to meet with any of you that would like to meet around the communion table again this week and do again what we did last week. Daring to ask God to love with the love of Christ, the people we like, the people that we endure, and the people we hate or dislike. And so you're free to go, and God bless you. I want you to know that this week, the message of last week and the cup of wine that we took, I thought of it repeatedly in dealing with the people I like people I don't like, people that just exist and I don't know whether I like or don't like, I just don't know. I've thought about it a lot. And I want even more than ever to be one who is motivated by the love of God and touch the people that He assigns me to. God bless you. Go and walk with Jesus and establish His kingdom in your heart and in your world. Yes, sir.